And therefore, we'll start today's topic, which is Borer, with the following Shaila. You and your friends want to play Risk. You open up the box, and there are pieces scattered all over the box from last time. Instead of the yellow being in the yellow boxes, and the purple being in the purple box, and the green being in the green box, they're mamish a mess all over the place. It's a total balagan. Are you allowed to separate the pieces and put them back in the boxes so this way you can play? Or, very similar, let's say the end of a Risk game. There are two ways Risk ends. One is a guy conquers the world. Number two is a guy breaks a treaty. And another, the guy who had the treaty broken pulls the bottom of the board and all the pieces kind of fall off. And that's the other way the game ends. When we grew up, that happened often. And all the pieces now mixed up. And you don't want to leave it together on the floor till after Shabbos. You want to clean it up. So you want to put the red back in the red and the blue back in the blue. And it's a total mess. Is that mutter? Or is that borer? Shaila number one, Risk pieces. Shaila number two. Let's say you're playing Settlers of Catan. And you're holding eight or more cards, and someone rolls a seven. The halacha is you get rid of halacha. The rules of the game is that you lose. You have to put back half of your cards. People know how to play Settlers? So do you give away the good cards or the bad cards?
Bad.
Is that a problem of borer? Those are the two shilas I want to deal with today. One is the Risk shila. The other one is the Settlers of Catan shila. How are we doing? So far, so good? Let's start off with Risk, and as we analyze this Shaila, we're going to go through and discuss the rules of Borer at large, discuss a couple other cases along the way, which are common cases, and once we've established the principles and understand how to talk intelligently about Borer, we'll be able to return back to the Risk Shaila and the Settlers of Catan Shaila. Good? Okay. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Daf Ayin Dali, Amud Aleph, has a discussion about Borer and what is Derech Borer. There are five shitas in the Gemara that make something Derech Borer. We basically paskin like a synthesis of them and the way the Rabbeinu Hananel has, based upon the Gemara, as to what is Borer and what's not Borer. The following three klalim come out. And if you violate any one of these three klalim, it's a violation of Borer. If not, it's totally mutter. Or in other words, in order to be mutter and not borer, it has to be A, miyad, for immediate use, or la'alter. Number two is biyad, with your hands. And number three is olchu mitoch psolas. And that's the Mishnah Berurah in his Akdama to Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Tes Paskins. And this is halacha l'maisa. Let's just talk about these principles for a moment so we get used to them and understand them. If let's say a person's using a strainer to get rid of water, when you have a pile of a bunch of noodles in them, or you're using the lid of a pot to get rid of the water, what would the halacha be? That's for sure usher, because it's not biyad, and therefore it's usher. Number two, if you have good fruit and bad fruit, and you plan on eating them shalashuddas time, and this is after lunch, you want to separate and get rid of all the good fruit, all the bad fruit, or for that matter, keep the good fruit. Either way, it's a problem because it's not immediate, it's not miyad. You can only begin with separating the fruit, i.e. the good from the bad, with the amount of time that it's miyad. What's considered miyad? Important question. Miyad means the amount of time that it takes you to get ready for it. So if you're going to have shalashuddas and it takes you 20 minutes to separate, so you can start 20 minutes, 21 minutes before, but an hour before would be inappropriate. But if it takes you 5 minutes to separate, then 20 minutes is too early. It's a subjective thing depending on the task at hand. So far, so good. That's the principle of miyad. Now, let's say you want to eat a fish and you want to get rid of all the bones out of the fish. So the post can say also that's aser. Why? Because that's taking the psoles from the ochel. It would only be mutter to take the ochel away from the psoles. Therefore, our minhag has become to eat gefilte fish Friday night because it has no bones. If anyone's curious where the minhag comes from, that's where it comes from. If you want to remove water from the chalent, you have a watery chalent, you want to kind of like, if you use a strainer, for sure it'd be a problem because that's not biyad. And even if you just want to get rid of all that water, that'd be a problem as well. You just have to figure out, you can take the chalent from the water, but you can't take the water from the chalent because you can take the ochel mitoch psoles, but not the psoles mitoch ochel. So far, so good? The last quick example I'll give just to establish these principles of miad biad noch mitoch psoles would be a salt shaker. The Posim believes if you stick rice in a salt shaker, you ever see rice in a salt shaker? Why do you do that? Because it keeps the
moisture.
The salt what?
Like moisture.
Moist and not all sticky, clumpy together. The rice somehow sucks up the water from the salt, and this way it kind of remains individual grains of salt opposed together. Some poskim are machmer, because what you're doing is you're taking out the salt from, which is
the water.
Now you're taking out the salt, so that's considered ochel. You're also using it for immediate purposes, so that's miad, but that's a problem of biad, because you're not doing it with your hands, you're doing it with the shaker. So if you wanted to do it, you might have to lift it up and put the salt in. That having been said, there are some who are mekil, although the Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa in Perek Gimel, I guess it's, Halacha Samach, says it's us for the Shmir, the Shabbos Kitchen Book, page 111, note 66, quotes from Moshe, says it's us as well. However, there are those who are mekil, b'lechad chili, should try to avoid doing that. So far, so good. Those are basically the general rules of miad, biad, nochem tov psalos. It's a little hot in here, so if you feel like you're falling asleep and you want to stand up, please do. I won't be insulted. Feel free to stand up. Feel free to walk around. I'd rather you stay. I take it as a compliment. It means you're fighting to stay awake. There's a shtender over here. Feel free to use it, whatever you want. What would be a mutter case if, let's say, you want to serve grapes on the table and there's a bunch of bad ones. You take the good ones out to put them on the table to serve. Or let's say you have a bunch of fruit. There's a couple bad ones at the bottom. You take the good ones out, then you're okay. One could take the good part of a chalent on his plate. And once the bad part is no longer there, you can leave that behind. You take the good, what do you like in chalent? You don't like any beans. If you take the beans out, it'd be a problem. But if you take a scoop without any beans, the barley and the meat and, heck, we're in Israel, the chickpeas, whatever else you want to, whatever you like from the chalent. For me, the chickpeas would be the last thing I would take because I don't like them at all. I would take out the barley and the meat, potatoes, onions. So hey.
If you're scooping to prevent any beans on the serving spoon?
That's fine, because you're taking...
Can you scoop for one specific thing?
Like barley only?
Or only meat?
Yeah, I'd imagine you're doing it, certainly ochem tov psolos, you're doing it for miad purposes, and even though you're using a spoon opposed to your hands, the post-chromatic, because theoretically you could have done that with your hands, it's just you would have burnt your hands, or it would have been inconvenient, or dirty, or impolite. Imagine if you came to my house for Shabbos, like here's some chunk, like, put your both hands in, you'd be like... That'd be the last time you'd be invited over. So like the poskim or mekel, even though it's like a clean, nonetheless, if it's replacing your hands, poskim or mekel over there as well. Okay. So suggestion number one, if you wanted to do it in a mutter way, is you can leave the entire thing over here as a mess. And as you want to play with them, as you need piece by piece, you got a big pile over here of different colors, but you need the yellow one for the board. So when you're ready for the yellow one, take the yellow one, put it right on the board, you'd be okay. Why? Because that's with your hand. It's immediate use, and it's ochem tov psolos. That would be fine. Now, that's mutter, but it's totally unhelpful. I mean, it's really annoying to play that way. No? Could you imagine? It'd be annoying. Yeah, people like to set up their little tanks, horses facing, each other, and people like to set, what is a horse and an armed soldier? What's the third thing? Yeah, people like to set up the tanks facing each other and the horses in front. You wouldn't be able to play a little game while everyone else is fighting over making treaties or not. So it's again, it allows you to play risk, but it is annoying to have that huge pile in front of you, and therefore one may want to know, are there any other heterim? Let's continue. Maybe one will argue that all risk pieces are ochel, and this is not ochel mitoch psoles, this is ochel mitoch ochel. After all, I need the yellow and you need the blue, but I can't play without you and you can't play without me. We need all the pieces right now, and therefore, maybe you can separate ochel mitoch ochel. Would there be such a heter for that? What would a case be? Let's say one guy likes chicken skin and one guy likes chicken, or one guy likes raisins and one guy likes peanuts. So there's a big machlokas achronim that the Bir Halacha quotes in Shimon Shin Yotes Siv Beis, where he quotes the Ramah and the Trumas Hadeshin, who says no such thing, there's no such thing as ochel and ochel. Subjectively, whichever one you want is the ochel. He does quote a Maamar Mordechai who paskins Lakula and holds they both are ochel, because you don't look at subjectively what you want, you look at objectively what there is, and this is not good grapes versus bad grapes, this is raisins versus peanuts. You like raisins, I like peanuts, you're red, I'm blue, whatever the case is. And therefore the Maamar Mordechai would be mekel. That having been said, because the Ramah and the Trumas Hadeshin are machmer, and really the Ramah is machmer, you're not going to be mekel against that Ramah. And therefore, even though there are posts who say, like the Maamar Mordechai and others who say everything is ochel, it's mutter, That's not a het that we're going to want to rely upon. We don't pass it like that, Ma'amar Mordechai. Maybe you can combine that with a few other things and come up with a heter. But so far, we got one successful heter, and we got a machlokas poskim over here, which is important and relevant. The machlokas, the Ramban, the Trumas Deshin versus the Ma'amar Mordechai. But that's not going to be a heter we're going to want to rely upon, because we're really being very makel against major scent like the Ramah. That's not something you do quickly. So the poskim really would not want you to do that second suggestion. You with me so far? So we're good? We're good? Okay, three. Next. Perhaps one can suggest that separating a few of the bad pieces along with the good pieces is okay. Would that work? So, interesting suggestion. It boils down to another Shaila in Poskim, which is, let's say there's a fly in your soup or your water or whatnot. So there are some Poskim who say that's totally fine. That's not a tarobis at all. Just take the fly out. It's not really mixed into the soup. It's not a, like a vegetable soup has vegetables in the soup. It's not a fly soup. It's just a fly went in. And there are Poskim who say it's totally mutter. And one of the major questions we're going to have as we conquer the Borah Shaila is, what's even considered a tarobis? How do you know? We'll get to that in much greater depth later. But there are poskim, the Berhetiv quotes a Maharitz to say that a fly in the soup is not considered a tarovis, totally mutter. Unfortunately, we don't paskin like that chita of the Maharitz. We paskin like Rove poskim, one who says it clears is a taz. The taz in Simon Shin Yud Tesif Kutin Yud Gimel says it's usher to remove the fly unless you take along some soup with it. And that's how Paskin Halacha Lamais, the Berhetiv quotes this Lahalacha, the Yad Avram quotes this Lahalacha. We Paskin, you cannot take a fly out of the soup because it's a tarovis and you're taking psolas from the ocha. Unless you take out some soup along with it. Why do you take along some soup along with it? What do you gain? So there's a machlokas post how to explain that taz. The Mishnah Brura says, I'll tell you, Pshat Nataz, it's not really borer if you're taking good and bad together. That's not being mavara between two things. It's like cutting something in half. And therefore, as long as some good goes along with the bad, and you get rid of the good and the bad together, it's totally mutter. The Chaznish disagrees. The Chaznish says, that's not, I've never heard of that heter. If you put good and bad aside, it's aser. That's called bora. Just because you took some good along with the bad, you did took away the bad, which is aser, and you took along some good as well. You may have done, what you did was bora, and then you cut the soup in half, or you took out a spoon of soup. Why then does the Taz say what he says, argues the Chazanish? It's a very clever svara, says the Chazanish. Because the fly is not really in a taroves of the whole bowl of soup. He's only in a taroves of what? The area near him. So when you take a spoonful out, you're removing the whole taroves. Says the Chazanish, I agree with the Taz, but not for the Mishnah Brura's reasoning. It's not because you can remove Ochel and Psolos together. It's because you've removed the whole Taroves, Lamai Nafkamina. Let's say you have some Cholent and you want to get rid of all the beans. And you move away beans with barley. Would that be permissible or not on Shabbos? Is that Mutar Aser? That's going to be Machlokas, the Mishnah Brura versus the Chazanish. According to the Mishnah Brura, it's fine. Why? Because you got rid of good and bad. According to the Chaznish, that's totally awesome. Unless you remove the entire surrounding area around the bean, the entire taroves, which may or may not be the case. Similar things, let's say a person wants to, let's say, slice, peel cucumbers. Let's say you're not using a peeler. Okay, keep it simple. You want to take a knife and peel cucumbers. So is that borer? You're getting rid of the bad part. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, again, you got a heter. What's the heter? The good is going along with it. What about the Chazanish? The Chazanish would allow for it as well. Why? Probably because you're removing the whole taroves. Maybe he'd allow for it as well. Because, right, in other words, the bad part's on the outside.
Because you get the same.
You're getting the whole thing. Maybe cucumbers you'd have, you know, you could do both according to both. That's a larger, broader question. I'll have to hold on to that. In any event, so therefore, maybe you'll argue, I'll just take the yellow, and whatever's near the yellow, if a couple pieces get brought in with me, it'd be okay. I'll take some, you know, some blue along with it. Again, this may help you, but in other words, if I grab a handful of yellow, whatever's nearby, so I get a few, again, if it's the whole section of nearby, the Chaznish may allow for it as well. Perhaps, but again, it could allow for a heter, but I'm going to end up with a couple of red pieces in my box. I'm not going to want them there. You're going to have a handful, you'll have a handful of pieces in your box, but it's still going to be multicolored. Maybe halachically it's permissible, but it's not that helpful. two more suggestions. One may argue, slow down. Do we even believe that wrist pieces is a problem of Borer in the first place? Meaning, is this even a tarobes? The standard case of would be, let's say, removing, you know, grapes from a cluster, who knows what. What's the halacha about non-food entities? Do we even paskin that is borer? So the answer is, according to the Taz, in Shin Yud Tes Sifkun Yud Beis, absolutely. He makes a deal from a Rashi. He says, yeah, I would have thought on my own, perhaps. Not a Rashi in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Ayin Dalet as well. I think it's on the Beis, talks about separating rocks out of flour and calls it borer. So you see that it's not just separating food from food, but even non-food entities. However, although that Shitas Rashi, the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. The Aruch HaShulchan has two mahalchim in Shin Yud Tes Sifkat and Tes. And in the second one, he says that a pile of knives and forks and spoons can all be separated one from the next. Don't worry. You want to know why? Because that's not really a taroves. No one would call it a pile. It's really just a bunch of knives and spoons. A taroves is a fruit salad. A taroves is a salad where things are mamish mu'urav together. This is nikolayim. This looks like a knife. This looks like a fork. It's not a pile of everything. It's 14 forks and 6 knives. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, if it's nikar la'ayin, borer is not a problem. It's noticeable borer only would be us if it's a real tarobus of small objects. For example, mixed figs and grapes. Presumably fruit salad, chalent, or mixed raisins would all be a problem. There are different ways of looking at this type of svara. Some say it's big clumps versus small clumps. Some say it's food versus non-food. At the end of the day, we follow the Taz L'chumra, and therefore, again, you may want to combine this with something, but even this alone with the Maamar Mordechai would probably not be enough to be makel. There are two more suggestions that the post can have regarding mixed up silverware. Because we don't follow that Aruch HaShulchan. There's Rav Moshe suggests and Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests, and both of them will actually be very helpful for our risk, Shaila. Let's go through those two suggestions, talk about the risk, Shaila, take a quick round of questions, and then move back to Settlers of Catan. So far, so good? We're going through the Yesodos. You with me? Like, okay. Many poskim suggest you can just break apart the Tarova. Says Rav Moshe, when it comes to forks and knives and spoons, just take them and kind of scatter them, throw them gently across a table and let them all kind of separate from each other. If you're doing it in a non-intentional way, you have 4 forks, 3 knives, and 2 spoons in your hand, you just kind of throw them in a way that they get spread out. So when they're all together in a concentrated area, that's a tarobes. But once it's all spread, you have 4 forks and a knife and a this, that, you pick up the 4 knives and you're done. You pick up the 3 forks and you're done, or whatever the numbers were, and you can solve the problem that way. That would work as well for wrist pieces. If you took a whole random handful, you take and you kind of throw it around, and all of a sudden they become separated enough that it's no longer a tarovis. You can pick up all the red ones, pick up all the blue ones, pick up all the yellow ones and put them in your little boxes, either before you clean up and put them away or before you play the game. That's one great heter. Rav Moshe's cool is accepted l'halacha. Rav Shlomo Zalman has another heter, which is, you take a handful of silverware, the first one that comes out, whatever it is, random, now you have a fork in your hand, put it away. Next one comes out, maybe it's another fork, maybe it's a knife, whatever comes out, if you do one at a time, each independent kli. No thanks, we're good. Sorry, bad joke. If you do each independent, a fork separately, a knife separately, each one independent, one at a time, whatever comes into your hand first, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas, of course, of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in Perek Gimel, I think it's Halacha, Ayin Ches, as well as Pei Aleph, as well as footnote 210, Resh Yud, I guess. You can take with the first one that comes into your hand. This one came out arbitrarily. It's no longer in the Taroves. If you pick up one piece at a time, you'd be okay. Pick up one red one. Now the red one's separate because you picked it arbitrarily. You can put it in the red box. One blue one. Those are two different ways of breaking the Taroves. And this way, those would be two other heterim you could use in order to solve the risk piece problem. Probably Rav Moshe's is the best solution from a practical standpoint. Probably Rav Shlomo Zalman is a very good solution as well from a practical standpoint. You want to pick up a whole handful, put it into your box. It's going to be a little bit difficult, etc. So therefore, that takes care of risk. What about the questions? What about, yeah?
I'm assuming Rav Moshe is getting this from later on in Dalet. There's a case where Rebbe was in Yeshiva for Shabbos and he had like a pile of fruit and he threw them across the table. But it says that they didn't know if he did it to get rid of the Tarovis or so it looked nice. So that's crazy. It's like, it's not even clear that that's actually had to be more.
We'll take a look at the Gemara of Moshe if you want to afterwards. Remind me, we'll look at it together. We'll figure out exactly where it went through. It sounds like, I'm with you. I hear. Yeah.
According to Rosh Hashanah, but you have to like close your eyes or something and you're picking out the color.
No.
Because if not, then it's not really random because you see what you're taking. So you're taking
I guess you have to do it in a random way. You, have to, you know, as if you, if by chance you pick up all five oranges first or reds first, then you're cheating. That's, you know, like you may think you cheat the system, but you know God's fully aware. You know, you pick up the first one, then the second one, then the third one. You pick it, you just do it random. You're a talented individual. You can figure out how to do things random. What about the cards in Sellers at Catan? So again, according to the Aruch HaShulchan and the Or Samech, it probably mutter right off the bat. These would not be under the food category, but you probably would be okay. We don't rely upon that. Number two, you probably could rely, you also have the Maamar Mordechai, which is, it's really ochel and ochel. Even if you don't want four sheep right now, a little bit later on, you're going to need those four sheep. And certainly, or everyone needs or. You know, yeah, everyone has abundance of maybe wheat, but a or. So they're good, you know, according to the Maamar Mordechai, it's all tarobas. You just some you need now and some now. But again, these are probably not good enough to use upon themselves. La halacha, what would you rely upon? Number one is if you can do miyad, biyad, noch batok psolos, you'd be fine. What would you have to do? Well, you need it for, you know, immediate use. Doesn't mean you're going to use the card right now. It means you're saving it in your hand. So if you take away all the good cards, you'd be okay. What have you done? A, you did it with your hands. That's miyad. Not pardon me, biyad. You need the good cards for the next round or for the game, or right now you want to hang on to them. That's miyad. And it's ochel matok psolos. You took away the good from the bad. What's left behind with the bad, you could probably get. That's one way to go. You take away all the good cards, you'd be okay with that. For that matter, that'd probably be a similar situation in the game. There's a very, very rude name for the game. There's a much more polite name as well called bum and vice bum. President.
President.
That's the much nicer name. And after the first round, you'd have a problem. But after the first round where the president gets to take from the bum and he gives the worst card over, again, that could be a problem. So again, you take away the good. These type things, it could be take away the good card as well. What else might you have? Number two is you can do one card at a time. You pick up this card. I want to keep this one. Pick up this card. I want to put it separate. I want to get rid of it. Pick up this card. Keep it. Put up this card. Keep it. Put this card. I want to get rid of it. That would be based on Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It would be a little longer, a little more time consuming, but that would be a great hetcher as well. Number three is if you can kind of separate the cards like Rav Moshe, so you know they're not near each other anymore. I don't know if that's really enough of, yeah, it's certainly mutter. I don't know if that's going to be, it's maybe annoying. Lastly, there's a fourth heter out there, which is as follows. Post can talk about borer between books on a pile and books on a shelf. If let's say you have a bunch of books in the pile and you want to get rid of a bad one or something like that, you take it out, you know, I don't know, you have a 15 svarim on your table, you're sitting learning a sogya, and one of the svarim is an English book, and someone, you know, a girl walks over, you want to make sure it looks like only Hebrew books, it looks stark, so you take the English book, you move it to the side, or until you close it, that, I don't know, in a pile, whatever it is, why, you get the bad one in a pile, that'd be boring. However, taking it off the shelf, post-game are much more makeo, because it's not like a tarovis, it's not a big pile, it's, so taking a book from a pile would be borer unless it's done in a mutra fashion. Again, miyad biyad nochem etok psolos. So I think they're even posting when they used to put away svarim, who are so machmir. They used to read one line in each sefer. They put them away this way. It's ochem etok psolos. They're using the sefer right now. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say he thinks taking a book from, it's quoted in Shemesh Shabbos Kilchas and Parak Gimel. It's halacha what 69 samach tes as well as note 198 kuf 197 kuf tzadi zayin. It says it's mutter because in the shelf, books in the shelves might not be considered borer. One may make the argument. I spoke to a couple postmen who thought a hand of cards is much more similar to books on a shelf. I guess 52 card pickup would be more like books in a pile, but a hand of 8 cards, 10 cards, that's not really a taroves. That's much more like books on a shelf. And you want to combine that with the Maamar Mordechai and that with the Aruch HaShulchan. You know, plus for Shlomo Zalman's heter, or Shlomo Zalman who thinks it's mutter to do this, or at least 50-50, or why not, you put that all together, and therefore, even if you can certainly be dan, people of Kaf's Chus who just stam, take out the cards, 1, 2, 3, the bad ones, and certainly be dan, maybe even be more helpful if you do it yourself, the right, even if you wanted to do that, lechadchila, perhaps is again room to rely upon based upon A, the Aruch HaShulchan, B, the Mamre Mordechai, and C, the Sfar Shlomo Zalman. You put that all together, you don't have to be machmer against all three of those. I spoke to some poskim who felt that was the case, and that takes us through both shilas, the shila of risk and the shila of Selah Zeketan.